Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. Call right now. That number again is 800-245-0473.
Welcome to Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
Some exotic booze that...
Well, we've had a delightful time running around the countryside in Dutchess County, New York, a place that is a hop and a jump from New York City. And so if you live within driving reach of New York City, or you live in and around New York City, it is so easy to get to Dutchess County. And we're coming into that time of the year when you want to get out of wherever you are, no matter how idyllic it is or frenetic it is or overloaded with cultural experiences that are in easy reach of you, because there are places you just need to go and visit and have a change of scenery and an infusion of inspiration. And I'm so happy that this hour I'm going to take you off to a place that absolutely fits my mission of introducing you to places where you can travel to, and I will be assured and confident that you will return home enriched, enhanced, inspired, and uplifted, and somehow know you're a better person because of the experience you just had. I've just arrived by the magic of radio at a wonderful place in Dutchess County that you need to know more about. And I've hardly been here minutes. I need to spend hours and hours and hours. But just in the little bit that I have seen, it is one of those places that is overloaded with information presented in the most dynamic and interesting way, and it's the kind of place that is going to appeal to people of all ages in your family. So the perfect place to plan that weekend getaway to somewhere else. And I hope that you come with the idea of spending a night at least in Dutchess County, so that you can see more than just one or two places and then go home. And so with that thought in mind, we're going to go off and we're going to speak with a real authority on the Franklin D. Roosevelt Presidential Library and Museum in Hyde Park, New York, in wonderful Dutchess County. And we're going to do that right after this.
Stephanie Abrams' travel shows are brought to you by the Boston Symphony Orchestra. Get ready for another exciting summer, as tickets are on sale now for Tanglewood, the summer home of the BSO, in the beautiful Berkshire Mountains of Western Massachusetts. Plan your Tanglewood summer now at bso.org or get tickets at 888-266-1200.
I am delighted to be at the Franklin D. Roosevelt Presidential Library and Museum in Hyde Park, New York. And I have the pleasure of the privilege of the company of its Deputy Director, William Harris. Thank you so much for making time in what I know is not only your busy day, but you must be so up to your neck preparing for the increase in visitors that we know will happen in spring through fall. Are you open year-round?
Yes, we are. And thank you for visiting. And we really appreciate it. And we'll always make time for people who are interested in visiting us. And we are open year-round. Shorter hours from October till April, and then we go to a later time.
So the days of the year you're actually closed, that might be business days normally?
We're only closed three times a year, and that's on Thanksgiving, New Year, and Christmas Day.
Wow. That's fantastic. Because, you know, far too often, people have the impression that wonderful places to visit are seasonal. And they even think of them as being seasonal, Memorial Day to Labor Day. And if they have other plans, they just never make it to somewhere. And there are places that fit that bill. So when there are places you're thinking about going to and they're not clever enough to be open year-round, this will give you one more reason and one more opportunity to come and investigate the Franklin D. Roosevelt Presidential Library and Museum. I haven't been here, not only in years, but in decades. I can tell you that growing up, we haunted the house. You know, we would, anytime it was a gorgeous day, we would take a drive to Hyde Park. And we lived on Long Island, and it's an easy hop and a jump, and it's just a gorgeous drive. And go someplace for lunch, and go visit, and go someplace for dinner, and drive home. And that predates this exhibit.
Yes.
So when did, and then of course after I married and I had children, and my children haunted the area with us because it's a glorious place to come. The grounds are gorgeous, the drive is gorgeous, and there's something of what I call the platinum experience as opposed to the plastic experience where somebody put a lot of money into styrofoam and resin to build an attraction to entertain you. This has serious value.
Well, this is a very real place, and President Roosevelt, of course, grew up here and lived here and is buried here and loved this place.
And so is his doggy.
Yes, exactly,
Fala.
And so it is a very real place, and what we like about it and what we certainly encourage people to do is to come here and just experience this as part of the Hudson Valley because the president loved it so much.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, you know, you have to look at people who were well-educated, well-traveled, and had money and where they chose to live. And when you look at that, that's a wonderful demographic for deciding minimally where you should visit.
Yes.
And maximally, maybe you ought to consider bringing your business and its employees to that kind of an inspirational place.
Because yes, and
clearly this is.
And we have programming year-round. Book talks and speakers come. And we're active year-round, and schools certainly bring classes and for our education programs, and we have facilities for conferences and public events as well. So there are a lot of opportunities for people who want to visit.
When was this building out? Was this building here? I didn't pay attention to the outside. Was this a building that was reimagined on the interior, or was it built from scratch?
This is a purpose-built building to be President Roosevelt's library. And it's the first presidential library in the nation. And it opened on June 30th, 1941. And it's the only library where a sitting president actually worked in it. And his study is here, preserved exactly
cool.
as it was. Yes.
Oh, I've got to see that before I
yes.
walk out your door today.
And it has the furnishings, the carpets from the Shah of Iran, and just the books he selected on the shelves. And he gave radio addresses from here and visited here just shortly before he went to Georgia, before he died. And so this building was built specifically to house and display both his papers and the various collections that he had, as well as gifts he received as president. So he wanted it close by to his home so he would be able to retire here and spend his time with his many things that he loved so much.
You know, it's so funny. You're talking, and I'm thinking about my first impression coming through the door of this building. And as you get past the entry reception area, it's so bright. There's so, you know, there's neon and, you know, there are things that attract your eye immediately, even if you're walking in another direction as I was, that you can't help but be impacted by the brightness of it and the outreach of it. I mean, it's very engaging. You know, I didn't want to walk this way is what I'm trying to tell you.
We're very fortunate. As 5 years ago, we underwent the first full and complete renovation that this facility had since it opened. And it was a remarkable transformation of the permanent exhibit, which expanded it. And it is over two floors and covers the entire expanse of President Roosevelt's life, focusing, of course, on the 12 years of his presidency. And also a little behind-the-scenes aspect where you can see where we store certain things and get a sense of the sort of inner workings of the organization.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Alabama.
I thought so. You didn't sound like a local boy.
That's right. Rural electrification from President Roosevelt came to my hometown of 50 people in the 1940s. So his impact was far-reaching.
Wow. So what road led you to come here and become the deputy director of this very fine, wonderful place?
Well, I've had the great good fortune. I'm an archivist. That's my background. And we're as a library in archives, actually, that has a book collection. And I joined the Presidential Library System, which is part of the National Archives, over 20 years ago down at the first Bush Presidential Library.
Wow.
When it was still a project.
And we're going to take a quick break and come back and pick up from there. Don't leave me, people. This is Stephanie Abrams, and we are live at the FDR Presidential Library and Museum in Hyde Park, New York, in Dutchess County. Movie show travel itineraries with dots on maps. I want to do better than that and take you traveling by TV. Hi, this is Stephanie Abrams. Join me on Sundays on my new show, Travel TV with Stephanie Abrams, airing coast to coast when it's 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Plan to sit right beside me. We'll explore travel for fun, business, reunions, weddings, honeymoons, families, and sports adventures, reaching homes in Boston, New York City, Miami, Orlando, Tampa, Dallas, Houston, Nashville, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, and more cities across America. Our affiliate TV stations are listed at sabrams.com/blog. That's sabrams.com/blog. And at biztv.com. Let's take off traveling together when it's 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Sundays.
It's time to see New York and save 15% with Amtrak. Take your next trip outside big city limits and see more of what New York has to offer. A world of natural beauty, culture, wineries, charming historic towns, outdoor adventure, and delicious locally sourced cuisine await you when you board your Amtrak train in New York City or anywhere along the Hudson Valley route to Albany and beyond, where a wealth of natural wonders await you. Don't miss the beauty of Lake Placid or head for Montreal, all while taking advantage of your 15% savings and enjoy the comfort and convenience of traveling with Amtrak. Advance reservations are required, and in addition, up to two children ages 2 to 12 may accompany each adult at half the discounted rail fare. Restrictions and blackout dates apply. Plan your Amtrak 15% savings getaway today. Experience being in Amtrak's New York state of mind. It's time to see New York and save 15% with Amtrak. For details, visit Amtrak.com. That's Amtrak.com.
If you're one of the millions of Americans who can't work because of a serious injury or illness, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. It doesn't matter if you've applied before and the government has said no. Let the experienced attorneys at Bill Gordon & Associates help you get the Social Security disability you deserve. Their team of attorneys have been fighting for benefits for people just like you for over 20 years. And best of all, they're there's no fee until you receive your benefits. There are many conditions that make you eligible, including some you may not even be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Bill Gordon and Associates today for your free no-obligation consultation. See if you qualify for the Social Security benefits you need and deserve. 800-470-4453. 800-470-4453. That's 800-470-4453.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist, and you're done. Learn more at TryPaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake, and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back, unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
Biz Talk Radio. It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
I am delighted to be at the Franklin D. Roosevelt Presidential Library and Museum. It's located in Dutchess County in Hyde Park, New York. And I have the pleasure of the company of William Harris, who is the deputy director. I left you off in Alabama. Did you go to school, your whole education in Alabama, or were you elsewhere too?
I did. I did my undergraduate and graduate work at Auburn University.
Where's that?
It's in eastern Alabama near the Georgia border, not far from Warm Springs, where the president would spend much time. And it had an archival program, and so many people, including the current director of the Bush Presidential Library, graduated. Many people left that program and joined the presidential library system.
Wow. So when you say you joined the presidential library system, what are the mechanics of that? What does that mean?
Well, it's a way of speaking. It's a federal position, and so, but it's a branch of the National Archives that is responsible for the 13 presidential libraries.
So you were with the Bush Library.
Mm-hmm. And then I went and worked in the central office that oversees all of the libraries.
Oh, you must have been hot stuff.
No, it's one of a great team. And
well,
it was
a lot
of fun.
Because, I mean, to be selected to do that, that's definitely a vertical move.
It was a good fortune. And I got to work on new libraries, Clinton and Bush and Nixon.
Wow.
And so
that was
great
thrilling.
Time. It really is. It's very rarely anymore that new institutions of this nature are created, and to play a small part in that is it feels very good. It's a service is the way we all look at it.
Wow. You know, I'm blessed to know a number of archivists. One is Sister Catherine Markey, who was, I doubt that she is gainfully, I hate to say the word employed because she's a nun, but she was the archivist for the Benedictine Monastery in Fort Smith, Arkansas.
Oh, interesting.
And I know a number of archivists in Ireland and Northern Ireland who have gone into family castle homes and archived their maps and their papers, and you know, and it's like being Sherlock Holmes, isn't it? I mean, don't you feel some sense of detective work in what you're doing?
Absolutely. What we also always say is you have to enjoy reading other people's mail. You have to have a kind of a nosy quality as well,
but isn't that how you find out about people's lives?
Absolutely.
Do you ever read the collected Letters of Oscar Wilde?
Yes, I have.
Oh, did you read the new edition?
I have not.
Okay, so I bought the first edition when... not that it was a first edition print, but the first book, probably in the early 80s. And then about 10, 12 years ago, his grandnephew or something found 40 more letters, and they republished the book with those. And I bought the book, but I haven't read it yet. But I found it amazing, especially his American connections. You learn so much about a person by their correspondence to things like, thank you for inviting me too, but unfortunately I'm going to be with the King of England that night. And, you know, I mean, there's just, and the kinds of things that people write that...
You really do.
Are we losing that with email?
Well, actually, if electronic records are preserved appropriately and the technology allows us to bring those forward, email, in a way, served as a revival of written correspondence.
Yeah.
Because, once again,
away from phones.
That's right. People were putting their thoughts down and exchanging notes. And so I'm sort of hopeful about the future.
Imagine it's easier to read email because you have to deal with, you know, handwriting issues. But on the other hand, you lose that personal nature of really feeling like somebody's sitting next to you talking to you because of the handwritten.
What's interesting, such as with President Roosevelt's papers, are those little notes that you might jot down on the side of a memo.
Any
or,
love letters there?
well, of course there are love letters here.
I'm not talking about to Eleanor.
So, no.
Oh, shucks. I mean, because there are a number of documentaries out, you know, even at the moment as we speak, that are digging up all kinds of, you know, lives that nobody knew about.
Well, we address President Roosevelt's personal life forthrightly in our exhibit.
Okay, so that's two things. You have to take my hot little hand when we're done here, and you've got to take me to see.
Okay,
so we're going to do that.
We don't shy away from addressing President Roosevelt as a real person, as a real man. That's part of the story. It's important for people to see these presidents not as faces on coins or as great men on pedestals, but as real people.
Well, you know, and I think you've brought up a really important point, William. And if you've just joined us, we're talking with William Harris, who's the deputy director of the Franklin D. Roosevelt Presidential Library and Museum in Hyde Park, New York. I have a master's degree in education. Mm-hmm. I have taught every level from elementary school to college. I feel like I still teach. I just teach people how to travel. But one of the things that I think about from time to time, because I think about the kinds of things that not too many people think about. I have a very strange thought pattern and fantasy life. One of the things I think about is the way in which achievers, regardless of the sector they come from, of art or music or science or politics or inventors or whatever, we pick them up at their fame. And for students under college age, and particularly under high school age, I don't know that they really connect with people as people, and that's the importance of coming to a place.
That's right.
Like this presidential museum, where you can learn about the life of somebody who really grew up and, you know, had siblings or not, had, you know, competitive families or not, had fathers or mothers who weren't particularly loving or were, you know, super moms and dads that kind of yes. buried them in affection. Or protectiveness or whatever. If students could identify with people of great achievement, maybe they would better see themselves with the potential to achieve because, gee, that guy's just like me. I mean, this is the intersection of we've got similarities, and it's not just about this is the person that brought us the WPA.
That's
this
right.
is the person who got us out of the Depression. This is the person that helped, you know, do whatever it was to guide America through its deepest, darkest economic hours.
That's right. And when you add in with President Roosevelt, who certainly is from an upper-class family, it's certainly from a family of wealth, but when he confronted polio, and which could
was
have...
Was it polio?
Yes, it was polio.
Because there's...
Infantile paralysis.
Well, there's...
It's old. That's the old fashioned name.
We got to take a break and come back. We'll finish this.
Looking for great island destinations that have beautiful beaches and amazing sightseeing and shopping? Try Malta. Hi, this is Stephanie Abrams. Just off the coast of Italy, with three islands for travelers to explore, you'll find walled cities, Baroque towns, sleepy villages, gorgeous seaside resorts, wonderful hotels and spas, great restaurants, beautiful beaches, the spiritual paths of St. Paul, and the Cathedral of the Knights of the Order of St. John. Whatever your interest, you'll find it in Malta. Whether it's bustling fishing ports that provide you with an abundance of unique experiences, charming cafes, nightlife, clubs, restaurants, and glorious pastry shops that remind travelers of Baroque living, incredible architecture, historic forts, and a world of art, rare books, and botanical gardens make Malta a must-visit experience. For details, go to visitmalta.com.
BizTalk News wants to feature your business as part of our Discovery feature, which highlights businesses that are not yet known nationally, but offer products or services that benefit BizTV viewers. Available in over 40 markets on broadcast TV and online via BizTVClub.com. BizTV wants to help get the word out about your business. If you're interested in having your business featured on a future episode of BizTalk Discovery, email us at discovery@BizTV.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit. Again, call 800-557-6095.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation
at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723.
We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
Biz Talk Radio. It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
I'm talking with William Harris. He's the deputy director of the Franklin D. Roosevelt Library in Hyde Park, New York, in Dutchess County, a hop and a jump from New York City. So easy to get to by car, by train, by bus as well, people. I mean, it's easy to get here. And you can investigate car rental companies if you arrive by train or by bus who will meet you at a station and have a car available to you so you can go exploring. But if you've got a car already because you've flown in and picked one up or because you live in the drive market, you're going to want a car. I mean, it's the loveliest way to be able to really explore the nooks and crannies, and Lord knows there are so many of them in Dutchess County. But this is a real gem, you know. This is the diamond. This is the platinum experience here at the Franklin D. Roosevelt Presidential Library and Museum. And we were just ending the last segment talking about the commonly held notion, as it was published and believed by all, that Franklin D. Roosevelt contracted polio, more than likely from a mosquito, on at Campobello on the island off the coast of Maine where his summer house was. And it's only in the last, I'm going to say 10 years or so, that there have been very credible medical people who have reviewed his medical records and have said that he more than likely had Guillain-Barré syndrome. And the symptoms and the end results are very similar. So, you know, but I think it would be a very interesting thing to explore further. But the bottom line is there are only two presidents that I know of who were in office in a wheelchair. And one was FDR after the polio or Guillain-Barré or whatever. And the other was Dwight David Eisenhower after his stroke. And he was in office when that happened. And I think in light of the Americans with Disabilities Act and focus on the challenges that are imposed on people, I mean, they were both presidents who had to worry about not being able to get into a building because there were steps.
That's right.
You know? So, you know, but it's wonderful to see that somebody, there are young people in wheelchairs who 50 years ago had a very different focus on what their potential could be because of what they couldn't do because of their mobility challenges that don't exist today. And being able to look at a president who was back in the 1930s, 40s. He was president for a long time.
Yes, he was.
And see the levels of achievement he rose to before and after his illness.
Oh, there's no question about it. The amount of physical effort it took to live with the braces that he wore on his legs. And in the exhibit here, we have an interactive. It's very basic, but it's a very powerful interactive that you can lift a bar up and it is the weight of what the braces were.
Wow.
And it's surprising.
Well, I don't think they would have been made of aluminum at that point.
So, no, they were steel braces. And but to
imagine dragging that around.
To get the sense of the amount of weight that that is and the strength that it takes and the drain that it can have on a person.
So how much time, other than, geez, you could come and install yourself here for a week, because that's clear just from the little
Absolutely.
Bit I looked at. But the average person coming to visit, what is the amount of time they should allot just for the Presidential Library and Museum, not counting the museum home that's here on the grounds?
Well, in all seriousness, you know, I could easily say it could take 2 good days to go through it. But you could, depending on your specific interest.
So you bring
interest,
a lunch and a sleeping bag
you
and
go.
A sleepover?
The ticket's good for 2 days.
Oh, how wonderful.
Absolutely. So.
Well, and that's so important because I can't tell you how many times, William, I have arrived somewhere at 3:30 in the afternoon and they're closing at 5.
That's right. You can use it the
and
next
an hour
day.
And a half is just not enough time. And, you know, and to have to come back the next day and do this admission thing again can be a burden on people who are counting every penny in their travel budget. So that's marvelous.
Yes, well, the experience is so rich here in the museum. And
how much time do most people actually spend?
I think most people probably spend a couple of hours.
Mm-hmm. How many rooms are there that you're going through?
The gallery, I couldn't say how many rooms because it flows really.
Yeah, I saw it going like a windy
sort
thing.
Of a chronological experience. Mm-hmm.
And how early in his life does it start?
It starts
at the presidency?
At the beginning of his life.
Oh, at the beginning
so,
of his life.
Yes, and we have, it's fortunate, he was the only child of his mother, and she kept everything. And so,
go her.
That's
my
right.
My kind of woman.
Well, from our perspective,
yeah,
absolutely.
No kidding.
So
what kinds of things do you have?
We have childhood papers of his, little notes he would write his mom.
Aw,
and
sweet.
Toys and locks of hair. And, I mean, every aspect of his life is documentable and documented.
Wow. That is so cool.
And you know, people have different interests. If you're interested in World War II, of course, we cover that in detail here. And if you're interested in the Great Depression, we have a tremendous amount of material on that. And if you're just interested in how he lived and where he lived, walk the grounds here, walk over to his home or to his graveside, and you can feel, you can just get a sense of why he loved Dutchess County so much.
I have to tell you something funny. It's kind of a silly aside. But I can remember probably the first time I visited the house. I was probably 10 and a half. And I can pinpoint that because I had my 10th birthday in New York. Prior to that, we lived in Florida and in Maryland. And it was one of the first weekend outings we did after, you know, in the spring of my 10th year. And I remember when we got to FDR's bedroom, and across the bed they had an American Indian pattern bathrobe. I don't know if it's still there or not, but they had it kind of draped across the bed for effect. And it's like a red blanket kind of fabric, you know, with white, very Native American yes. kind of designs and whatever. And my mother looked at it, and her father died when I was 3 months old, so I never met him, I never knew him. But she looked at it and she said, gee, he had a bathrobe just like my dad. And, you know, that happened 150 years ago. And I still remember it so clearly to this day because I remember the expression on her face as she connected with him as a person.
Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, what we'd love.
And with all this money and all this land and all this fame and all this fortune, he had the same bathrobe as her father. So, I mean, it was, and I expect those are some of the kinds of reactions people have when they really learn about FDR the man.
Absolutely. Again, it comes back to, for all of the importance in the history, these are people, are individuals who, who live their lives in many different ways and achieve different things, but they're human. And to be able to connect with that, that takes people away from just this notion of an old book of history. And
do you have photos would be the best, or other notes, documentation, journals related to the hot dogs and corn on the cob with the King and Queen of England story?
We do. We have certainly photographs, and we have the planning papers.
Tell the story for our listeners who don't know a thing about what I'm talking about.
The King and Queen of England, George VI and his wife.
Was the father of Queen Elizabeth.
That's correct. And we're paying their first visit, the first visit of any reigning king and queen of Great Britain.
To the colonies.
Yeah, that's right, to the United States in 1939. And President and Mrs. Roosevelt hosted them here at Springwood at the home. And instead of having one day some big stuffy dinner, they had a picnic. And
they served?
They served hot dogs. They served many things. The hot dogs stand out as the thing most people remember.
I think the corn on the cob stands out well, too, because to have to pick that up and eat what is fed to cows and pigs in Europe, it caused quite a flap, didn't it?
Well, a lot of people thought it was a wonderfully American.
Yes, it was. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Don't leave me, Stephanie Abrams here. Have you been to Serendipity 3? Hi, this is Stephanie Abrams. Serendipity 3, located at 225 East 60th Street between 2nd and 3rd Avenues in New York City, offers their signature frozen hot chocolate and hot fudge sundaes. Yum. Hungry? Have a yummy brunch, lunch, pre and post theater dinners, and munchables in an atmosphere designed to make the best memories. The haunt of celebrities and people in the know for over five decades. Serendipity 3 is open Sunday to Thursday from 11 a.m. to midnight and Saturdays until 1 a.m. A New York City visit is incomplete without a stop at Serendipity 3. Before you leave there, pick up a copy of my novel Rumors from their darling gift shop. Visit serendipity3.com for menus and details.
Tickets are now on sale for the 2018 Tanglewood season, entitled Bernstein Centennial Summer, celebrating Lenny at Tanglewood. Maestro Andras Nelsons and world-famous guest conductors lead the Boston Symphony Orchestra in timeless classical masterpieces. Reserve your space at Tanglewood, the summer home of the Boston Symphony Orchestra, in the beautiful Berkshire Mountains of Western Massachusetts. Tickets are now on sale. Call 888-266-1200 or visit tanglewood.org.
Stephanie Abrams here, inviting you to Northern Ireland's North Coast, where landscapes and seascapes inspire filmmakers. Walk in mythical footsteps of giant Finn McCool at Giant's Causeway. Trek across Carrickarreed Rope Bridge. Enjoy miles of sugary sand at Port Stewart Beach. And have a bite at Harry's Shack with its million-dollar panoramic beach view.
Visit nationaltrust.org.uk and search for Giant's Causeway.
There's no question you need omega-3s, but which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now.
800-834-4690. 800-834-4690. That's 800-834-4690.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Biz Talk Radio. It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
You have no idea how peaceful and happy I am in the presence of William Harris, who is the deputy director of the Franklin D. Roosevelt Presidential Library and Museum in Hyde Park, New York. If you're coming into New York City on business, most people try to get out Thursday night or Friday morning. Friday is even better because then you get home. You have to go to the office. The day shot traveling. Your company has to get you home. Go home on Sunday. By the way, they'll be happier because it's going to be cheaper, generally speaking, to fly home on Sunday than it is to fly home on Friday. And by yourself that weekend, pick up a rental car or hop on Amtrak. Get yourself into Dutchess County. You deserve a treat. Anybody who comes into New York City in business knows how much stress they have accumulated, not because of the city itself, but because of trying to achieve all the things you come to New York to do when you come in on business. And so this is a wonderful opportunity for you to slide and glide your way out of New York City, and literally in barely more than an hour, you're going to be deep into the countryside of New York State. I'm so tired of, when I used to live in New York, William, I can remember people saying, "Where do you live?" I say, "I live in New York." And they would say, "Oh, I could never live there." And I'd say, "Why is that?" "Oh, it's so crowded and whatever." And I said, "You know, are you just talking about Manhattan?" Even New York City has rural areas.
It's true.
And I grew up from my 10th birthday onward in Queens. So, you know, trees, grass, you know.
Well, I just want to build on what you said. I also live in Manhattan as well as up here. And you can take the Metro North train for $18. And
oh, yeah,
you can be up here in an hour and a half, take a cab or a bus right to the library. It doesn't take that long to come out of the city.
Yeah, and you'll go home refreshed and, you know, it gives you a chance to get all those cobwebs out of your brains from all the business that you've been doing. So this is the perfect venue for having all kinds of special events, special exhibits. I just have to imagine there's a list somewhere of what's new and happening and coming up. But do you have things on the agenda for 2018, William?
Absolutely. On April 21st, we're opening our new exhibit, and it focuses on posters created during World War II. And they're really wonderful. And the government produced these. Some noted artists would often draw them, such as Norman Rockwell. And so they're incredibly graphic. They're beautiful to look at, and the history behind them and how they're created and their messages and what they mean today.
I have to be at this. I have to check my calendar. I really have to be in this. I have a very strong World War II connection, and that is that my father was a highly decorated World War II infantryman. Go Army. And I had his medals framed on a velvet thing, whatever. The fellow that did that, that's what he does. He makes these framed memorials, basically, of soldiers' medals and things. And I hope he's listening. There's a gentleman, he's probably retired at this point, Colonel Spice. I think his first name's Brad. I'm going to say it's Brad Spice. I don't think I'm wrong. And I was in some business dealings with him, and I told him this story, and I wanted to get this all done, and he said, I'll take care of it for you. And he got it done and shipped to me from South Bend, Indiana, or Terre Haute, Indiana, where he lives. And he said the guy that did this framing said this was among the very most impressive array of medals he had ever dealt with, because my father both earned a Silver Star, a Bronze Star, and a million other Distinguished Service, Sharpshooter, this and that, and whatever. And so there is a strong connection between wonderful military things and people who would want to see that kind of thing because they have either parents or grandparents or great-grandparents who were very much involved in that. You want to talk about a challenging period, between the Depression followed by a world war. Holy cow.
No question.
When this starts on the 21st, what time does it open?
It will open. It'll be open during our regular business hours in our Vandenhoevel exhibit gallery.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah. And we encourage everyone to come because there's...
Your regular hours open what, 10?
9 to 5, but in April it'll be 9 to 6.
Oh, 9 to 6. That's a nice, healthy day.
That's right.
Okay. So, and it's going to run till when?
It will run through the end of the year,
okay.
And because then we'll begin preparing for our 75th anniversary of D-Day exhibit.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
Yes.
Well, you know, what triggered my thoughts about my father, and that fell out of my head while I was talking, my mother was given a book. It's like 2 inches thick, big book, and... It's the history of the whatever battalion group, whatever my father was in Europe. I guess it's World War II in Europe because it was also in the Pacific. And they had embedded cartoonists, illustrators who traveled with the military into battle zones, and they... like did watercolor paintings and things, and the copies of those are in this big fat book.
Oh, that's amazing.
You know what? When I come on the 21st, I'm going to bring the book to show it to you.
Oh, you should.
Yeah, it's very cool.
The artistry and the artwork in these posters is really remarkable, and they're geared to children and to homemakers and to everyday Americans save and conserve, as well as to join in the struggle.
Yeah.
It's fascinating to see how America was totally and completely impacted by the war.
I want to thank you so much. We've run out of the hour. We got to get together again. We'll talk again on the 21st.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Stay with me, everybody. We'll be back. Oh, we're flying high.
Words, and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say. Come fly with me. Let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.